Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Stoughton is out today. Well, week, Pete and I were able to catch up, not literally catch up because she's too fast, but we caught up with adventure racer, mountaineer, and Park City resident, Dells. She's the mother of three. She's a self-described high school and college cheerleader turned Malibu housewife who ended up finding mountaineering and adventure racing after having her three kids. Since then, she has summited the seven summits. That's the highest summit on each of the continents. And she has competed internationally in the sport of adventure racing. When the Eco Challenge first around several decades ago, and now a new Eco Challenge that will be broadcast as part of a 10-episode series on Amazon Prime Video, starting in mid-August, August 14th. Pete and I taped this interview last week, thankfully not running or biking or ping beside her, because after all, we like to breathe. Here is that interview now.
Dionette Wells, welcome to The Mountain Life. Great to have you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, you're a Park City resident. You moved here thinking that this was the place on earth that you wanted to live as a world adventurer. Even.
Yeah, I moved from some pretty good training grounds in Malibu to some even better training grounds here at altitude in the mountains. Park City's been perfect for that.
You have conquered the seven summits, and I don't know if conquered is the right word that is used, but you have achieved the seven summits. Maybe in some ways that they've conquered you to a certain degree, but what an accomplishment that is. When did you complete that feat?
May 24th of 2008.
It's been a while. So then you were looking for a new challenge. And, you know, until we were talking about speaking with you, I hadn't realized that the Eco Challenge had come back as now what's going to be a show on Amazon Prime. Many of our listeners probably know about the Eco Challenge when it started some, I don't know, 25 years ago. And it was really fun to read about and listen about. Now we're going to be able to see it. And you are one of the stars of the show.
I don't know. I mean, our team was followed, but you never know with editing. You could end up on the editing floor. But yeah, it used to be on Discovery Channel and then USA Network. And now partnering with Bear Hills and these crazy people at Amazon, it just took it to a whole new level. It was the same course director, same producer, you know, Mark Burnett, Lisa Hennessy, Scott Flavel, and Kevin Hodder. That core group just upped their game even more than they did the last time, which was, I didn't think was possible, but nothing's been lost in 20 years.
And so I think, you know, we've had the opportunity to run together and work together a little bit in city. And so our listeners don't know that it has been 20 years. If you in the outdoor industry, outdoor racing field, and you have hint at that with, you know, this new racing environment, what do you notice that's different, at least in the Eco Challenge world?
Oh, what was different? I think people were friendlier this time around. I mean, maybe it was just me who changed, but it just seemed like people were more willing to help each other, you know, other teams. If something was missing something or needed something, you know, it was a really nice camaraderie with so many people from all over the planet. That part I just loved. But the race course and the, you know, the grind and the difficulty, you know, that's constant with Eco Challenge. But I really enjoyed how friendly everyone was.
And maybe this is, I guess for myself, I noticed a change in my persona as I've grown wiser. some people say a little more patient with age. You've been racing for 20 years and you've seen the sport change, but how have you seen yourself change? You're now in your late 40s and...
I love you, Pete. Sure, we'll go with that.
how have you seen yourself change and reflect?
Amazingly, not a whole lot. Once I got the race course, it was game on. Like, show up, be ready to race. That didn't change at all. Our willingness, I just saw the overall willingness of other teams willing to help us if we needed it, our willingness you know, we're going past someone and you've got candy in hand and you offer it to the team you're walking past or walking with. I just think an overall feeling amongst the racers just felt just a little bit nicer. Everyone's still on edge. It's still nerve-wracking. You know, at the start line, you're about to embark on this epic, epic thing that you can't really say what's going to happen because who knows, but you learn it soon enough. I was afraid that after this long, I wouldn't have that edge that you need. And yeah, that was still there. So I was happy about that. I haven't lost that with age.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Dionette Wells. She is a world adventure traveler, mountaineer, and competitor in the Eco Challenge. For our listeners who don't know what an Eco Challenge is, why don't you just give us a brief rundown of all the sports involved, how you find your way going about, and how does modern technology play into it? Or are you still orienteering out there with a compass and a map?
I was blessed to have best map reader orienteer, our navigator, Harold Zundel. There's nothing electronic allowed on you whatsoever. Even our watches had to be a certain Casio watch, no other watch allowed. Phones were turned in at the hotel. No little tiny iPods, nothing. Map and compass, stars, where the sun is, all of that. And every race is different. It depends on the terrain and where you are. And then the race directors will go from there. And this eco started off on the water in a Fijian boat, a traditional Fijian boat that I think Eco Challenge built 66 of them. Beautiful, beautiful boats, and as a gift to the country, left them for the villagers. We went there, lots of jungle trekking, mountain biking, a horrific rope section in the sliest rocks, swimming. Oh, these traditional little, I think they're called billy rafts. We called them so many names, I forget what the actual name was. That was a load of fun. Yeah, just all sorts of different sports. And then on and off each thing. I mean, also a new thing that Eco's never done was we stand up paddle boarded. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun. I did that all the time in Malibu. And thankfully with the Jordanelle right here, a really easy place to train and do that.
So the idea is you have a route that has been predetermined, but you don't really know where that route is. You have to find your way from checkpoint to checkpoint over what, like hundreds of miles over how long?
Yeah, this was, so an adventure race is nonstop, usually teams of four with one member of the opposite sex. And you're given coordinates of the checkpoints. How you get there is up to you. But if they tell you, if it's a mountain bike section, you have to get there on a mountain bike. And of course, you can get lost for days. Nothing is really marked. You have to figure it out.
So as a team, having that strength and the guidance is critical. Is there a team member that maybe like as important, you know, the brute who just carries stuff, like, yeah, I can get any one of those.
Some teams will have that, you know, your role in the China shop. I've never really been on a team that we did that. Usually people are expected to carry their own weight. I mean, if your teammate's having a problem, it's great to be able to help carry other people's weights. Every teammate is so vital to a team because if one person's out, you're all out. If one person can't keep up or maybe didn't train hard enough or is having a problem, you are only as fast as your slowest person. And you try as best as you can to help them. You know, being part of a team means not only being able to help your teammates, but being able to accept help. I don't want to give anything away, but that can be a problem as well.
Come on, this is your chance to give some insider trading on KPCW for the whole world to hear. But we won't get you in trouble with the producers of the show. But in a town where there's a lot of individual sports, it's hard for us to actually believe the whole team has to carry their weight. There's always a weak link. How would you tell all of us individual endurance junkies how to cope when there's maybe a weak link or someone's hurt? Or it's ourselves. Any advice from your racing?
You know, it really is. It's like a table that has four legs. All four of those legs have to hold a table. And always there's someone who's going to be having a low moment and someone who's going to be having a really good moment.
And when that person's having the low, you know, you just say, hey guys, you know, I need this, this, or this. I need to stop and pop my blisters. I need to eat, whatever it is. And, you know, you help that person because you know that down the road, it's going to be you who needs help. And so my highly functional teams, that's just kind of how it was. I mean, I'd carry someone's pack and someone would carry my pack, and you just kind of spread it around because everyone will have a low. When you have someone who will not admit to needing anything and they're hurting and, you know, their ego or whatever it is gets in the way and they don't ask for help, that's not good for the team. The three legs can hold a table for only so long, and then the table falls down.
Yes, and I've seen that at least with other kids, like when I'm coaching mountain biking or whatnot. You've got a group ride and one person isn't honest, they're bonking, or even in a professional setting, you've got a team working on something and you want to achieve a goal of completing a task. And if that team member isn't aware enough to recognize that they're struggling to own the whole vision of the project, it's really challenging. So there's an element, I guess, of even eco racing can be a part of our real life, huh?
Well, that's which I've learned, you know, 20 some years ago. My first eco was in 2000. I really learned that it is just a group effort, but it mirrors day-to-day life in such a huge way that I never anticipated, because you can be so, you know, miserable and so much physical pain and mental pain. And it is so easy to just say, I'm done, I quit. It's incredibly easy. It's much harder to say, no, you know what, not the pain, block out, you know, whatever you're feeling. Enjoy the journey. Of course, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Not every day is going to be a happy, great day. But you get up and you put one foot in front of the other. And you may be hypothermic and you can't feel your feet. Doesn't matter. You still put one foot in front of the other. Because everyone can say, I quit. That's just so easy to do. You know, be the one who stands up and keeps walking.
It has a lot to do with just showing up. You know, how we just show up in life or at the start line or many days into an eco challenge. Talk us about showing up as being like 90% of it.
Yeah, well, getting to the start line of an eco challenge is 90% of it. Once you're there, it's almost a relief. Like, okay, now thanks, I can just race. I don't have to keep up with all this preparation and the packing and repacking and organizing. But showing up also means showing up ready to do your job. And if you have someone who's on some funky diet that you shouldn't really be on if you're a racer, that's not doing your job. That's not being able to compete at the highest level. You can't hide behind anyone on this race. No one can pull you for 7 or 8 days. You have to show up ready to do your job for as long as that job takes, whether it takes you 10 days to cross the finish line or 6. It's not only for you, but it's for your teammates.
Dina, what are the relative strengths that women have in these, whether it's mountaineering or something like an eco challenge? You have to have a co-ed team with at least one person. It seems like a lot of the teams have sort of half and half men, half women. What are the strengths of a woman in this sort of event?
Well, we just seem to be able to cope with pain a lot better and deal with it much longer.
Childbirth.
Yeah, I'm just saying, all the women mountaineers, I just remember like stuff didn't faze them, where the men, you know, were pretty quick to complain and all that, but the women were just marching on and just doing what they had to do. And thankfully, I know some incredibly strong men who I've raced with, and the women just do their job. They just show up and, you know, get it done. And, you know, but I've just been lucky to race with some great men. I've never raced with a female, but the ones I've seen on other teams, they're just incredibly gifted, smart athletes.
When I teach backcountry skiing to clients, first thing I say is make sure you have a woman in your, because not only are they tough, but they also have better common sense than most men do. And their decision-making skills, does that come into play at all?
Well, again, with my guys, I can't really say, but I know that I've got that mothering thing. So if I have snacks, I'm sharing them, and I've got the mom skills that, I don't know, you just always have extra snacks. And sometimes women can think 5 minutes ahead of what we might be our scenario, but that's where I would see, not necessarily in adventure racing, because most of the men I know there just are on their game and they think as far ahead as I do, but just, you know, day-to-day hikes or some mountaineering things. Yeah, the women they just seem very capable.
A lot of times in this adventure world, from what I understand, you also get names, nicknames. And so strong and capable, has that resulted in a strong name for yourself? Like, for example, one of your teammates is called the German. That one's a little easy because he's German. The Preacher, do you have a nickname that you're able to share on radio?
My first nickname on my first Eco Challenge team was Token, as in Token Female. And I used to get a lot of that type of stuff because I would be a Malibu housewife showing up for a climb or a race. I got it all the time. What's this Malibu housewife doing here at this race? And I would just smile and not say anything. And usually by day four, they're apologizing. Token is the only one I can remember. I was called Turbo on one team. I don't remember which team that was, but
were you an athlete before you did all this, like growing up in high school and college, or did it take becoming a Malibu housewife to turn you into an athlete?
Yeah, it took me into becoming a Malibu housewife to get out of the grind and boredom of that. What happened was I was a cheerleader in high school and college. And then driving to Mammoth to ski, I would always look to the left and see those mountains, Mount Whitney. And I was just drawn to them. So I got 10 of my girlfriends to finally go climb it with me. And looking back, we didn't know a thing that we were doing. It was so ridiculous. But as soon as I summited, that was it. I was hooked. It was like it was a drug and I had to do the next one. And so that was Kilimanjaro. And then I happened to meet Mark Burnett and he said, oh, you should try my race. And so I got connected with two really great racers and they just taught me everything. I didn't know the difference between a road bike and a mountain bike. I knew nothing. And so that first year of racing was amazing. So I raced and then Eco Challenge ended. And then I continued, finished 7 summits, started doing ultras, some bike races. And then thank God, which I'm so grateful for, Mark and Amazon and Bear Grylls, I guess, is one of the big producers. And I think it was Mark and Bear who then somehow convinced Amazon to do this. And I always think Amazon, and we were joking about it during the race, that Amazon probably didn't have a clue what they were really getting themselves into. So I hope we had as much fun, you know, all of them producing this as the racers had in doing it.
So it seems like adventure racing has gone by the wayside. It was popular, like we talked about 20, 25 years ago. And it seemed like logistically, it was pretty difficult to put on a race, cost a lot of money with Amazon financially backing it. I mean, is this a reinvigorated sport or is it just for this TV show?
So what was happening was people were dying. So yeah, they're very expensive to put on and all that stuff, but people were dying and that was a problem. And if you weren't having racers on the verge of dying, then no one wanted to do your race because it wasn't challenging enough. So I think there were some races, but it wasn't huge. And I think that we'll find out if there'll be another Eco Challenge and how much more this can maybe explode in by the ratings. I think it's going to come down to how many people tune in.
What makes a sport like this viewer friendly? I mean, a lot of bike racing and running and endurance sports do not have a following. They do not have a viewership. What makes this better? Is it the depth? So, is it the risk?
It's the risk. Getting to know the race a little bit before they say on your market set go. It's watching team dynamics. Like every team is its own Survivor TV show because what's going to happen? How do they treat each other? Who's the outcast? How do they work together? There's a lot of that. Thing is, if you watch almost anything, a triathlon, a marathon, all those types of sports, you pretty much know what's going to happen between point A and point B. There's no, you know, someone might fall over or whatever, but this, you don't know. The minute they say on your market set go, the stuff hits fan. Like that's it. And it is nonstop of them not knowing what's going on until all the teams are off the course. And storms come in and that doesn't stop a race. If rivers are flooding and ocean is a nightmare and you've got boats all over it, I mean, the race does not stop.
you know, I think you're watching this going, are these people nuts? And some people you want to see just get to that finish line so badly. There was a man there racing who is in the beginning stages of Alzheimer's. He's a famous legend of a racer. You know, when he signed up for the race, when we all signed up, he was fine. You know, so you see him and you hear his story and he ends up racing with his son. I think you want him and his team to finish like you can't believe. And there's story upon story like that of different racers and different stories. And you really root these people. You like them, you root for them. And, you know, there'll be some you hate and some you know, hope fall off a cliff, whatever it is. But that's what's fun about it. It's, you know, and then you're dealing with all these different nationalities, different people's strategies and what they carry. And it's all interesting and it's exciting and it's constantly changing. It's not the same sport for 100 miles. It's so many different sports.
I think a lot of the endurance world has an opportunity to learn from that, do a better job of telling its story, and hopefully being a little more creative as we come out of COVID to get a more diverse population of participants. As far as diversity for Eco Challenge and adventure racing, do you see, because it is an international sport, a great diversity of participants?
In and of that nature, yes, because there's so many people from all over the place. So as usual, there are a lot of white people. You know, Eco is very diverse in their athletes, which is fun and nice. I mean, even if you don't speak the same language, you kind of know you're all crazy at the same, you know, you're all on the crazy page. So by showing up, you are, you know, in a brotherhood and sisterhood with all these people. And that's kind of fun. It's like we're all on the same page, no matter what color you are, no matter where you're from, what your sex is. No one cares your sexual orientation. You are all on the same page. And that is to show up to the start line and make it to the finish. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yannette Wells is our guest. She is a Park City resident. She's in the upcoming Eco Challenge show on Amazon Prime, which begins when?
It begins August 14th. And it's 10 episodes.
10 episodes, August 14th on Amazon Prime, just around the corner. Remind us the name of your team so we can watch out for you.
We are team number 23 and our name is Team Flying J.
Excellent. Well, Dionette, it's been great speaking with you. It'll
Thank
be really
so
fun
much.
To watch you.
It'll be interesting. Anyways, thanks guys.
Thanks a lot. Great to meet you.
You too.